At this time, let us focus on God's word for this morning. As you know, as you look at photos, videos of the doctors and nurses being involved in this current COVID-19 situation, you may wonder how they remain committed, motivated in their efforts, even to minister, to treat, to serve the patients that have been affected, infected by the COVID-19 virus. The Thessalonians Christians were also being persecuted and going through much hardship during their time. Reading from Acts chapter 17, verse 5 and 13. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. So we can see Paul is writing to the Thessalonian Christians with the books 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, and they were suffering much hardship, persecution for the gospel's sake. For us, how do we similarly press on and still remain motivated in our service towards others, especially when we face difficulties in doing so? May I put forth that when our service towards others is properly motivated, it would surely be effective, making a difference in the lives of others. In 1 Thessalonians 2, I will focus my attention on verses 7 to 12. Besides knowing our motivation of serving others in verse 12b, verses 7 to 12a first gives us three manners or ways of serving others. So let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Let us turn our attention as we read through the passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. So let me read from starting from verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. So let us hear what God's word have to say to us from this passage. So we would first be touching on the three main manners we are to serve others. And then we would go back and remind ourselves of the one main motivation why we serve others. So the first manner of serving others is to lovingly care for them. In doing so, you need to not only physically but emotionally connect with them. So as we look at verses 7 to 8, let me read through verses 7 to 8 again for all of us. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls or lives, because ye were dear with us. So as we look at these two verses, we can note that there are four terms that are being used: gentle, cherisher, affectionately desirous, and dear. So these four terms that we must note from these two verses give us not merely physical expressions, but speak of deeper emotional connections. So this verse gives us the picture of a nursing mother. As you look at this picture of this nursing mother, it gives us the sense not only the mother and child is physically close, but there is this emotional connection, this emotional closeness that they have during this time of nursing, especially. So we go on, this love, this care, what happens to it? 8b, verse 8b tells us, imparted not the gospel of God only, but also our own lives. All of us know Florence Nightingale. She's a nurse who was sent to minister to the injured British soldiers during the 1854 to 1855 Crimean War. So she spent her nights making her rounds, and this was beyond her normal routine or normal duty or what she's supposed to do. She really put her whole heart and soul into doing her duty as a nurse, going beyond what she's supposed to do. And as a result, she was known as the lady with the lamp. She would carry the lamp and then make her nightly rounds every single night, making sure the injured soldiers were doing well. So this is what it means to put one's whole heart into what one is doing. There is a quote that talks about her shining example. One said, "She is a ministering angel. Without any exaggeration in these hospitals, and as her slender form glides quietly along each corridor, every poor fellow's face softens with gratitude at the sight of her. When all the medical officers have retired for the night, and silence and darkness have settled down upon those mounds of prostrate sick, she may be observed alone with a little lamp in her hand, making her solitary rounds." So as Florence Nightingale did and ministered and served to all the injured soldiers, we should similarly be wholehearted in our efforts to serve others. Not only in words, the gospel, but also our actions, our souls, our whole lives. So knowing this, how can you include this loving and caring part in your service for others? For example, you may pray for one another over the phone, having meaningful phone conversations, listening to one another, and some practical help in arranging like deliveries of groceries, maybe food orders to people who are in need of them, especially the elderly. So we need to develop and have the heart for people. So after focusing on lovingly caring for them, the second manner to serve others is to sacrificially serve them. This is from verse 9. So let me read from verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. So verse 9 tells us, you should be prepared to lose yourself in your service for others. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy put in hard work. Two words that were used. Labor gives us the understanding of fatigue in doing the work, and travail or toil gives us the idea of pain. So they put in hard work, their labor, their travail, their fatigue, their pain in tent making. They had to support themselves. They have to come up with finances in order to do the gospel work. And they were prepared to put in this hard work in order that they can preach and teach the gospel of God to the Thessalonians without any charge of them making profit from it. In those times, there were traveling teachers who went around teaching attractive sounding teachings, and their main aim was to make money. As many people that they can extend their influence and teaching over. This can be seen in verse 5 of this same chapter. Verse 5, let us turn to verse 5 a bit further before this passage. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. So the preaching, the teaching by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy was not for their own profit, but to profit the ministry of the Thessalonians towards them. None of us can object that gospel work is hard work or involves us working hard for it. So it is surely not for our own benefit. To gain praise, to gain recognition, to gain a good name from others. But our main aim, our main goal must be that others would benefit from your hard work. Church ministry work is definitely not easy. All of us will have this experience, one time or the other. If you are not careful, you will experience burnout. You will lose the passion, the drive in serving. And then you will be just going through the religious motions of doing so. So Singapore doctors and nurses are still able to remain in their serving in the midst of this worsening COVID-19 situation. What keeps them going, I believe, is their call. The conviction, their wholehearted commitment to provide the medical help and to save the lives of people infected by COVID-19. Similarly, it is only when you constantly remind yourself of God calling you to service for Him, to ministry, or your other callings in life, that you are able to persevere and be joyful in your serving. So how can you develop your personal time with God? In prayer and His Word, the Bible. And also encourage others to do so. you can come together to pray over the phone, online, to keep one another accountable in your walk with God. How is this connected with calling? Remember that it is God who have called us. Not only save us, but called us to do different things for Him. So, we need to keep close to God to understand, to know for sure what He wants us to do. So, we need to include God's calling in whatever you are doing, whether big things or small things. So, besides lovingly caring for them, sacrificially serving them, the third manner to serve others is to encourage them. This is taken from verses 10 to 12a. Let me read for us from verses 10 to 12a of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting from verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God. Okay, we'll stop here. And what is the main point of these verses 10 to 12a? Remember that we have covered that the Thessalonian Christians were going through much persecution and sufferings. We covered this from Acts chapter 17 verse 5 and 13, as well as 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 to 5. In such a challenging situation, they surely needed encouragement from Paul to keep on going in their walk and service for him. So John Mark also came to a situation in his ministry that Barnabas had to encourage him. I believe John Mark, because of certain situations, left halfway in the midst of a missionary journey with Paul. But Barnabas really was a son of encouragement. He wanted to encourage John Mark. I think he realized that there is still the work of God in this person's life. And we read of this in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 to 39. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. So Barnabas always looked on the good side of persons. He wanted to still minister to John Mark to encourage him. So John Mark was encouraged by Barnabas in his ministry situation. You should realize by now how important, how impactful encouragement can be, in particular your encouragement to others. How then can we encourage others? Verse 10 talks about holy, Godward, justly, manward, and unblameable, emphasizing the importance of all aspects, including Godward, manward. We must be aware of the impact of our positive living example. We need to set this example for others to look at. In addition to our positive living example, we must also be intentional in doing the role of a father who actively nurtures or guides his child. What do you understand when I mentioned the term nurturing, guiding. It means that you should be helping, training and educating them to focus on the strengthening character and effect of God's word. Let us look at and compare this verse of verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17. Though not identical or like identical comparison, we can see three terms from the two verses that we can use to compare with one another, like exhorted and instruction of righteousness, comforted, reproof, and charge, correction. This points to us that as we encourage others, not only with our human words, but we need to direct their focus, our attention on God's word. That should be our main form of encouragement towards others, whether believers or non-believers. We must shine forth using God's word in their lives. So how can you encourage or be more encouraging towards others in your life? Both through your actions and your words towards them, especially with the use of God's word. Oftentimes, it is the persons closest to us. We are staying with, we are working or studying with, that you should be able to minister to encourage them. Be the light that shine out to them. So verses 7 to 12a gives us three manners of serving others, followed by verse 12b, giving us the motivation for us to serve others. So why are we serving others? You are serving others so that their lives in the end or in the process will start to reflect God's kingdom purposes and His glory. So you are serving others so that their lives will reflect God's kingdom priorities. You are called into His kingdom. This calling is a present, ongoing process in our life. We need to keep on fulfilling, keep on going in what God calls us to do. It's a continuous process that never stops until we leave this earth. So one of the aspects of this calling, we are called to align everything in our life according to God's kingdom purposes. It can be very tiny detail, but important thing is the detail of our lives. What we choose, what you choose to study, where you choose to work, and every life decision that you make. The most major consideration is how, as you make those decisions, they can be used to do God's kingdom work in our lives. As we look at this picture of Betty Green, Betty Green used her passion for flying to pursue an education and practical training in flying airplanes. And what was her purpose in doing that? She wanted to use her passion for flying to do God's work. She was very interested in mission work. And most of her life, she got involved in the work of the Christian Airmen's Missionary Fellowship, CAMF, later renamed as Mission Aviation Fellowship, MAF. So her passion for flying, she used it to do God's work, to do mission work, to reach out to people in different countries where God opened the way for her to go into these different countries. You are serving others so that their lives would also reflect God's glory. Living a life that reflects God's glory would mean that we do not make easy decisions for ourselves. That means we seek to do things for our own glory. Instead, we look at God's big picture and long range. We need to understand not only in the details, but those details that make up the big picture of our lives, His purpose for us. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thus, even as we serve, God has given us gifts, talents, abilities for us to use for His kingdom work, for His glory. And at the same time, we must be encouraged that as we serve others, that God will give us the strength to do so. Let us press on to serve others with the strength that God gives us in our lives. So why and how should you serve others? You should serve others so that their lives will reflect God's kingdom priorities and His glory. And you can serve them by lovingly caring for them, sacrificially serving them, and encouraging them. So let us develop our desire and motivation to serve others so that we can serve them more effectively to make a difference in their lives through our serving. So right now, let us reflect, every one of us, these three questions that I will pose before us on this slide. Firstly, first question, how can you include the loving and caring part in your service for others? Remember, I've mentioned praying over the phone, having meaningful phone conversations, to listen to one another, arranging practical help, grocery shopping, food orders to help others. So how can you include the loving and caring part in your service for others? Remember the emotional connection that we should have in the lives of others. Second question, how can you develop your personal time with God in prayer and His Word, the Bible, and also encourage others to do so? Doing things together, doing prayer, doing reading God's Word together is important, as this would surely help you to understand and include God's calling in whatever you are doing. Thirdly, how can you encourage or be more encouraging toward others in your life through your actions, your words towards them? Remember, I've mentioned it's the closest of people who are close to us, in our families, in our work, in our studies, that we can easily encourage them through our words and actions. So let us be the light that shines out to them. So let us spend this time, as you look at this light, spend this personal time with God as you reflect on these three questions. Or even if you were to spend time on only one particular question, spend it on the question that God is speaking to you to spend this time in. So let us spend this time, personal time with God in prayer. Give us a few moments to look and to reflect and to commit to God what God is wanting you to do. So let us spend this time in prayer. Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have started in our life. We thank you that you have guided us through this particular time. We pray, as you have spoken to us, each of us, through your word, that you help us to be motivated to serve others. Help us as we put your word into practice this week and in the coming weeks, that you grant us the strength from you, how we are able to minister to others in the different ways that we have heard this morning. Help us to shine as lights, not only through the gospel, but also through the actions that we have towards others. Help us, keep us safe, keep us shining for you, and may you grant us your guidance, your wisdom in our work and in our service for you. We pray and commit each and every one of us into your hands, and bring us back to worship you next Sunday once again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.